Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Book Talk with Lawrence J. King. From coast to coast, across the nation, Lawrence is an internationally known 6-time published author. Book Talk highlights published authors from the local, regional, national, and international scene, as well as showcasing musicians and people of interest in a positive and productive way. Give a rockin' warm welcome to your host, Lawrence J. King.
Thank you. This is Lawrence J. King in the house, your host of Book Talk Radio. And today it is my privilege to have on board with me a man by the name of Frank P. Deversa. Frank's books, and the book we're talking about today will be Spirituality in the 21st Century. And so
I get Frank on the show so we can try to interview him and have him tell himself a little bit about himself.
Hello, Frank. Welcome to Book Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Okay. How's it going, Lawrence?
Doing pretty good. Outstanding. How's your day?
Pretty good. Thank you.
I think you're calling me out of Texas, right?
I'm sorry?
I said, I think you're calling me from Texas, right?
That's correct.
Yes. All right. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and who you are and what you're all about, Frank.
I was raised in the town of South Hempstead, New York. It was during my college years that I honed my writing skills. I earned my associate's degree in 1981 with honors. 2 years after earning my bachelor's degree in 1986, I moved to Houston, Texas. I worked 14 years in the corporate world before becoming a writer in 2007. I published my first web article on spirituality in 2008 and my first book, Young Adolf, An Alternate History, in 2011. I published my second book, Politics in America, A Guide to the Two-Party System, in 2012. I've been on a spiritual journey since contracting a serious illness in 1997, which inspired me to write my latest book, Spirituality in the 21st Century.
Outstanding. And so let's go a bit more in detail about the illness part. What is that? What brought that on?
I have a psychiatric condition known as schizoaffective disorder, in which my thoughts sometimes become distorted and my emotions become withdrawn. When that happens, I lose my ability to socialize, and the only thing I can do is isolate myself from others until it subsides. It is impossible for me to think clearly during such times. I take medication to keep it under control. I had signs something strange was happening the few days leading up to my 40th birthday, which is when I lost all control. I entered into a manic state and felt compelled to throw away a lot of my extraneous belongings. Eventually, the manic state gave way to a series of prolonged depressions in which my thoughts became distorted. I was hospitalized on numerous occasions during that time. I haven't had a full episode since 2009, although I have had several smaller ones since then that would go away after a few hours or so. You see, I was an agnostic for 20 years leading up to the outbreak, and I firmly believe this illness was God's way of putting me back into spiritual alignment. It was during a low point in my illness that I renewed my faith in God. As a result, I began to view spirituality and life in a more enlightened way, which in turn inspired me to write a book on the subject.
Wow. That's amazing. Quite the story. So, how did it started writing?
I've always had a desire to express my thoughts effectively. I took a writing course in college to strengthen my skills. With the advent of email in the early 90s, that desire crystallized even further. When I lost my corporate job, I came up with an idea for a book on spirituality. I worked diligently on that idea starting in 2007. That effort led me to an article on spirituality, which in turn led to my book. Over time, I gradually added more material to it. From start to finish, it has taken me 11 years to fully develop. During that time, I published two other books, which I mentioned.
Nice. So, what inspired you to write the book?
One day back in 2007, I was thinking about spirituality, and the concepts of spiritual paths and voids in people's lives came into mind. As I alluded to previously, I sat down and composed a two-paragraph article about these and other topics. I showed it to several people and got a positive response. I thought more about it and I composed a third paragraph about types of learning. I wanted to appeal to a wider audience, so I created a website for the article. It no longer exists. I solicited readers from anywhere and everywhere to read it and provide me with feedback. I made countless revisions to it before all was said and done. After almost 3 years of this, I finally decided to sit down and compose a book about the subject. It took me approximately 2 weeks to come up with a rough draft. It took the next 9 years to fully develop and finalize it. For the record, the article is reprinted in entirety in chapter one of my book.
Nice. So, Frank, who is your target audience, would you say?
Progressive-minded adults 18 years or older who are not devoutly religious. More importantly, it is intended for all those who yearn for a meaning in their lives and a vision with which to achieve it. I want to provide insight into spirituality and life, which I learned growing up.
And how would you introduce your book to a friend in a sentence or two?
Spirituality in the 21st century enhances your understanding of spirituality, life, and the world. It guides you through the growth process, providing key insights along the way. It is designed to benefit most any spiritual journey.
And so, Frank, what makes Spirituality in the 21st Century, your book, different from any others out there?
The book cuts through religious dogma and presents the material in a straightforward, down-to-earth manner. It should be easy and enjoyable for any adult to read. In it, I talk about my life experiences and the world in general. I've been through a lot of adversity in my time, and I try to share the lessons I've learned along the way with my readers.
When and where best describes your story, your work?
When and where?
Where did the story take place? Yeah, where did the story take place, Frank?
Present day in contemporary society.
And what was your most challenging part about writing this book, and the easiest?
Chapter 6, Achieving Enlightenment, was the most challenging one to write. It is detailed, and I wanted to get it just right. Chapter 8, Wants versus Needs, was the easiest. I've been practicing those principles my whole life.
Three words best describes this work.
Insightful, straightforward, and enlightening.
What themes and or concepts would you like to highlight during this interview?
First, I contend there are five fundamental principles necessary for achieving spiritual enlightenment. Follow them closely along with the rest of the book, and you should realize it in your lifetime. Second, there are five C's that make relationship work. Adhere to them closely and you'll see it grow. Third, there are three important lessons the earth needs to learn in the 21st century. The planet needs to support measures that actively address these lessons more fully.
So, Frank, share some thoughts about relationships from your book.
Many factors go into making a good relationship: love, trust, dedication, sincerity, and romance. as well as what I call the five C's. One, compatibility, a strong personal interaction. Two, communication, the ability to discuss the positive and negative aspects of the relationship in a constructive manner. Three, compassion, an emotional bond that, toward the other person. Four, commitment, a dedication to the success of the relationship. And five, compromise, the ability to negotiate differences fairly and amicably. Romantically speaking, it's natural no two people are the same, so at some point there are going to be differences. This is where good communication plays an important role. If you can't successfully resolve disputes, your relationship has a limited future, no matter how beneficial the good attributes of either party are. Communication contributes towards building understanding and trust between the two parties, which, combined with the other four C's, helps build a distinct and healthy affection that can last a lifetime.
Outstanding. Is there anything controversial in your book, Frank?
Actually, there's more than one. For example, I do not believe in the devil. I don't believe God would allow a being who thrives on stealing souls on a grand scale and leads people into temptation for all eternity to coexist in his kingdom. Instead, I view the devil metaphorically as the potential for bad deeds in each of us. I do, however, wholeheartedly believe in a place called hell. Once we reach adulthood, each of us is the sole arbiter of whether we end up there or in heaven.
I understand. So, we're doing a live interview with Frank P. DeVersa talking about his book, Spirituality in the 21st Century. And so let's slow it down just a little bit, Frank, with the Q&A and maybe get to some personal things in your life. Do you have a favorite color that you like?
Royal blue.
Royal blue. And do you have a favorite vacation spot that you go to and or would like to go to? And if so, why?
The Caribbean. Because it's got beautiful water and beaches.
So, yeah, where can people pick up a copy of your book, and how many books do you have total?
I have three books. Spirituality in the 21st Century is the last one. They can visit my website. Just spell out my name, www.frankdeversa.com. That's F-R-A-N-K, D as in David, A, V as in Victor, ERSA.com. There they will find more information about my book along with links to purchase it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Author House, my publisher. They can access my Facebook page from there, and they can also send a message if they like via the contact page.
Nice. Has Author House been good to you?
For the most part.
Good deal. I know a lot of people, they have conflicting and controversial thoughts about various publishing houses, self-publishing, old-school publishing, publishing houses in general. I was noticing in your book, you mentioned things about gun control. What is your views on gun control?
Too many lives are needlessly lost to gun violence. Gun reform is an absolute travesty in this country. Mass shootings keep happening, but Congress does nothing to stop them. The paralysis in Washington boils down to two factors. One, Republicans are in control of the Senate. Two, the NRA is in control of Republicans. As long as that situation persists, nothing meaningful will happen. People have to share responsibility for changing the status quo, and that they need to vote congressmen who fail to act out of office. To realize meaningful gun reform, these three things must happen. First, we need universal background checks on all gun purchases. Second, we need to ban military-style assault rifles. Third, we need to ban high-capacity magazine clips. Such measures are not going to stop all shootings, but they represent an important step in the right direction. Prayers are nice, but we need real action.
Yeah, I've often heard the saying, guns don't kill people. People with guns kill people. So you addressed that topic clearly. That was a hardcore, raw, keeping it real kind of perspective, and I appreciate that. So going on down the line, let's see. You have, so you have three books out there, Frank, three books. Can we get the titles of those books?
Young Adolf, An Alternate History, Politics America, A Guide to the Two-Party System, and Spirituality in the 21st Century.
So you mentioned politics and things in your book as well. What is your perspective, opinion, and or viewpoint about politics?
I have identified a pattern of change involving politics. It concerns the development of public freedoms. I believe God allows a particular party to come into power when he wants to grant certain rights to us. When we reach a point at which we begin taking these rights for granted, he allows the other party to come into power to effectively take them away until such time as we are willing to fight for them again. Low voter turnout is a classic example of this. The right to vote is fundamental to our democracy. Voter apathy severely diminishes that right. That's why key provisions of the Voting Rights Act were struck down by the Supreme Court in 2013. The law will remain that way until such time as we fully respect the right to vote again. As long as we behave this way, there will always be a viable opposition party. This is part of the cycle of life. That's why history often repeats itself. It's God's way of teaching us a lesson over and over again until we get it right. It's all part of God's plan. So what's the moral to the story? Treasure your rights or else you run the risk of losing them. As you can tell, my views towards politics have evolved since writing my second book.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're talking live with Frank P. DeVersa, talking about his awesome book, 21st Century Spirituality, and this man is a keeping it real kind of individual, hardcore, not holding back, and that's the kind of guest I like to have on my show. Frank, you're amazing, buddy. And so I also noticed that you spoke of poverty in your book. What are your viewpoints about poverty, and how should we get rid of that? What can we do?
Does any of us really know what it means to grow up poor, to want and to seldom have? To have a burning desire within us that is rarely fulfilled? All such children know is the love of their mother. They want a loving father, but unfortunately he left home when they were three. All they do is bicker with their siblings. They want a nice home, but all they can afford is to live in the projects. They want cable, but all they have means for is network TV. They want good food, but all they can buy is what's available through food stamps. They're constantly confronted with an inferior diet, inferior living accommodations, inferior schools, inferior health care, and inferior home life in general. They want to feel important, so they turn to street gangs. They learn to get some of the things they want by stealing. Guns are easy to come by. Eventually, they get caught, so they serve hard time in prison. Crime is the only way of life they know. They're rejected by society. They live life on the fringes. Their life is largely a waste. They need a break, but all they know is disappointment. They need an organization like CARE. CARE provides food, emergency assistance, medicine, education, and economic opportunity to women, children, and communities around the world. They work hard to save lives, defeat poverty, and achieve social justice. CARE goes where they are needed most. They provide a way out. Please give generously to care.org the next time you donate.
I appreciate that shout out. So, Frank, would you say that some of this is self-chosen poverty? Would you say that some of it can be taken care of if these individuals would just move their ass a little bit and strive to get the bigger and better, or is this also a part of God's plan?
Well, I think in a lot of instances, they're born into poverty and they don't have much choice in the matter.
I understand that. But We have choices in life sometimes, I like to think that. And, you know, you can change your location, change your environment. That is something that people can do that find themselves in that predicament. Would you not think that?
Well, but to be honest, you have to have the means. And they don't have the means.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, I understand. Yeah, I'm a 10-time published author myself, and I wrote a book about hate and discrimination in America. And it covers a lot of these topics that we're now talking about. Yeah, it's pitiful sad. It really is. But I appreciate your opinion and your viewpoint on that. And so would you happen to have your book in front of you, Frank?
Yes.
And maybe you would read a couple passages for our listening audience, if you would.
Sure. Yes, it's taken
from chapter
13.
We're talking live to Frank P. Tversa. He's reading passages from his amazing book called Spirituality in the 21st Century. Okay, Frank, go ahead, buddy.
Thank you. The passage is taken from chapter 13. It is a bridge for succinctness. Of all the problems that exist in the world today, there is one so pervasive that it touches almost everyone in one way or another. It has been around since the dawn of humanity. Wars have been fought because of it. It is handed down from generation to generation. It manifests itself on both an individual and a societal level. This problem is intolerance. Intolerance is the unyielding adherence to one's opinions or prejudices, regardless of how damaging they may be. Tolerance, on the other hand, is the act of acceptance, the measure of a person's ability to effectively deal with difficulty. The question is, do we want to live life full of happiness or hostility? Our society is filled with intolerance against minorities, LGBT individuals, illegal immigrants, and others. For example, blacks have been disenfranchised and underprivileged throughout history, including the present. They are often unfairly targeted by law enforcement. Are we going to merely accept such practices or challenge them and become better citizens as a result? There is no room for complacency in this regard. We cannot rest on our laurels and take for granted accomplishments made by previous generations. We conquered many forms of prejudice during the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement, but our work is not done. Ultimately, we need to ask ourselves, does there need to be more or less tolerance in God's universe? The only rational, humane answer to that question is more.
I understand. That's keeping it real. So, Frank, what would you like for our listening audience and or the readers of your amazing book, what one thing, if you had to pick a thing, would you like people to learn and or take from your book?
The book is designed to be inspirational. No matter what your circumstance, I want readers to know there is always a better way to proceed in life so long as you put the necessary effort into finding it. I try to provide a vision of hope towards spirituality and life in general.
Nice. And have you gotten any feedback, probably a lot of feedback, from your amazing book, Spirituality in the 21st Century? Give us some feedback that you've gotten from various readers and people that picked up your book.
It has mostly been positive. One critique I got is that it could have been a little longer, but I wanted it to be an overview of spirituality. I didn't want to weigh the reader down in too much detail. I wanted it to be a smooth read.
And where can people go to learn more about your book and actually pick up a copy of your book?
They can visit my website. Just fill out my name, www.franktversa.com. There they will find more information about my book, along with links to purchase it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Authorhouse, my publisher. They can access my Facebook page from there, and they can also send me a message if they like via the contact page.
Nice. So, Frank, do you have a mission statement? If so, what would that mission statement be?
Spirituality in the 21st century enhances your understanding of spirituality, life, and the world. It guides you through the growth process, providing key insights along the way. It is designed to benefit most any spiritual journey.
That's short and sweet and to the point. So what do you think about this country, America in general? I know this is one of the most awesomest countries in the world. You can go from dishwasher to millionaire at any time if given that chance. What are your viewpoints about this country that we live in current day?
Well, our country has a lot of opportunity, but it also has a lot of problems. And I don't think those problems are being addressed properly by the current administration.
I understand. So would you say maybe we should do like Switzerland and become a neutral country and go, okay, we don't have time. We need to take care of business inside of this country and get it right. Or should we just let it rock and roll the way it is?
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, Switzerland is a neutral country. They don't do too much outside of itself. They stay more internal. In other words, they don't take on the world's problems like America chooses to do. So therefore, they have limited problems. So in the interior of this country in Switzerland, it's pretty much low poverty, good living conditions and things like that. So I was asking you, should America resort to that, being like Switzerland, and just say, okay, we don't have time to go deal with all your problems all over the world. Anytime you want us to go run to your aid, we got enough problems of our own. We should go internal and clean up our messes in this country. Or how would you say that should be?
Well, some problems in the world, if you don't take care of them, they come back and bite you in the rear end. I think Al-Qaeda and ISIS are a classic example of that. If we didn't contain them, they would have become a world threat. And we would have had to deal with them when the situation got out of hand.
I understand. You got to pick and choose your battles. But it seems like America as a country focuses more on helping others in battle and things of that nature. Don't get me wrong. I'm pro-military. I was in the military myself. And freedom is not free. You have to pay for everything you say and do in this country. And that's the way it is. We're just constantly running all over the world every time someone asks for help. And our country is facing a major crisis, like you were saying, guns and violence and things of that nature. So would you say we all need more God in our life?
Absolutely.
Is that the answer?
I think that's a start.
Love thy neighbor as thyself, in other words.
I'm sorry?
Love thy neighbor as thyself, in other words.
God by itself?
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is another way to put it, right?
Oh, okay, sure. There's always room for that.
Yes. Yeah, we're talking live with Frank P. DeVersa, talking about his amazing book, Spirituality in the 21st Century. And he's a keeping it real kind of dude. And this is a keeping it real kind of show. And it's an honor for this man to be on my show, hands down. So, Frank, plug it one more time, my friend. Where can people get more information about yourself? Where can they buy your books? Where can they get everything that you're putting out there?
They can visit my website. Just spell out my name, www.frankdaversa.com. There they will find more information about my book along with links to purchase it from Amazon and Barnes & Noble. They can access my Facebook page from there, and they can also send me a message if they like via the contact page.
Outstanding. And what are the titles of your books?
Young Adolf, An Alternate History, Politics in America, A Guide to the Two-Party System, and Spirituality in the 21st Century.
Nice. And are you currently going forward, envisioning another book anytime soon in the future? Are you working on some other projects?
I don't have a book in the works at this point, unfortunately.
Yeah. So would you say that you're now approaching writer's block, or it's just not coming to you at this moment?
Well, I'm still working on Spirituality in the 21st Century. I'm in the process of republishing it. I just finished revising it, and next I'm going to market it for sale.
Awesome. Well, Frank, our show is coming to a close. Would you have anything that you would like to say to our friends, fans, followers, and listeners before we sign off the air today?
Well, I'd just like to say that it's been great to be with you, Lawrence.
Absolutely. Hands down, absolutely. You're an amazing guest. You've got some amazing books. You're keeping it real kind of dude. And so on that note, I wish you a good day in Texas, and we'll be in touch and do some planning and some strategizing about books and things sometime in the near to immediate future. Hey, Frank, I appreciate you being on my show. Thank you, buddy. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Lawrence.
All right. This is Lawrence J. King at Book Talk Radio, a keeping it real kind of show. If you'd like to be a guest on my show, get in touch with me. And stay tuned for the next show, because we're going to have some more amazing, amazing guests on my show, like Frank P. Daversa, ladies and gentlemen. That's keeping it real. We're keeping it live. And I love to benefit authors, musicians, business-minded individuals, people with diverse interests. Give me a shout-out. Give me a call. Shoot me an email. We'll make it happen. We'll put you on that show. And with that being said, this is Book Talk Radio, Lawrence J. King, out of the house, and I bid you a good day.